honor to welcome all of you here in Torino on this festive occasion that, in spite of volcanic ashes and Torino shroud, is holding in full force. For us, this has three meanings. The first meaning is the celebration of Riccardo Dauria's 70th birthday, in a moment where his career is still in complete full bloom, and he's so totally absorbed by it that he didn't realize that we were preparing this surprise celebration for him. Second, this is a meeting to celebrate a particular field of research, and it will give the latest results in high-energy physics devoted to the unification of gravity with the other fundamental interactions. And for this, we have all the leading figures in this field that came from very far away, and also some of the young representatives of the younger generations that are the young followers of Riccardo's work. Third, a string concert in Torino celebrates Riccardo's love of music. And I think that when I was his student, the first thing that he had me read was not a preprint, but was the libretto of Idomeneo. And I still owe him for this. And for this, we have a concert that will follow the section of today. And also, a string concert in Torino reminds us of Torino as a string theory school, a school that dates back in time and started in the 70s. And represents the work jointly done by people that are at the university and at the Splinter University in Alessandria and here at the Politecnico in the field of string theory, supergravity, and more generally in supersymmetric field theories. Nowadays, talking about strings is not so fashionable anymore. And this field, this particular string school, is represented today by Nando Liozzi and Alessandro Dadda from the university. And they co-authored one very famous paper together with Riccardo and other members of this audience that started the whole thing of string theories late in the 70s. So first, many thanks to the Politecnico for hosting this event and for financing part of it, to the Muir Prin led by Professor Augusto Sagnotti of the Scuola Normale for financing another part of it, to the ERC Superfield grant of Sergio Ferrara, and also to the INFN training money that is helping us, since this is an event where we are supposed to learn a lot. And so together with Laura Andrianopoli and Mario Trigiante here of the Politecnico, Carlo Angelantoni from the University, and Leonardo Castellani from the University in Alessandria, we are happy to have you here, and we give the word to Tullio Regge, who was Riccardo's advisor, and he will give a few opening remarks.
Okay. Thanks. It's up to me.
Yeah.
Well, let me say that I'm very happy to be here, because I met so many old friends that it was a kind of revival to see them talking and seeing old memories coming back. I was also for a rather short period, I think I was also here at the Politecnico, not only as a student, but I think as probably some sort of assistant. I forgot the details. But I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to talk to you. And I was also enchanted to see here the list of all papers which we wrote together on string theory, but also string theory with fermions inside, which was rather interesting. I think was also rather well received by the people who are interested in string theory. And Riccardo worked with me, and I think it was it's some event which I had forgotten, but I'm so happy it came back by just looking at a list of things. I may add to this some problems I see in developing science. because the whole world went across a period of years of people with where every nation had politicians, that's also a man on the street, who were very much against science. When they kept meeting some of these people, they were brutally attacking me for being a physicist. And I think that today, at least in Italy, this kind of attack against science, or dislike of science, has more or less ended. Even some of the parties who were against it officially have disappeared. And therefore, maybe I hope that we can go ahead in science. I also, I may pull up my theory about science. I do think if you think at the time of Galileo. In the time of Galileo, there was the sun, and around there were planets, and the planets were turning around the sun, and that seems to be the whole universe. And the stars were just luminous thing. God knows where they were supposed to be. But the whole existence was supposedly just the Earth with the only intelligent population on it, and that's it. When astronomy began to develop, we realized that the sun was a star, or the stars were stars. The sun was a particular kind of star, and that there were billions of stars around us and billions of planets around us, and that this planet most probably are also inhabited by living beings, God knows whether they are human-like or not, and so on and so forth. I do think that this, I'm still thinking about you, but I join by giving my vision of the universe, that there is no end of the universe. Any possible object we can exist according to physics will exist somewhere. God knows where the distance is, but the universe contains all what is possible. I think it's useless to have a beautiful theory, an object predicted by this theory which does not exist. Somewhere, if we could work and go ahead 10 to the power 200 light years, still we would find new things and it would never end. And probably science is just, the science we know is just an infinitesimal fragment of what we should know to understand completely what's around us. And therefore, going ahead depends on how much theory we know, and reading this list of the papers which we wrote, I don't pretend to be the one, but I'm happy to have written that. And I think we understood a number of things. And I hope that some other people will pull out some useful result out of reading this. And I won't be around to see it. The other point I am a little concerned, and is that there's still around, it's not an association which joins with an army about, but there is still some anti-scientific feeling in Italy, not only in Italy, also outside, which we have to control. It's our duty to talk about science, diffuse science, and tell exactly what it could, in where it is useful, and where also is damaging. I am I love science, but I don't love atom bombs, and that is something which makes me happy. I am particularly happy to be here and see so many friends. And Ricardo brings me memories which now, unfortunately, begin to fade. But I'm very happy that you invited me today to see many people with whom I collaborated and I had very good relations in the past. And having said this, I think I am quitting. Is that enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
We thank Tullio very much, and now we introduce another leading figure in the field, Professor Peter van Hoenhausen.
Well, the way I was introduced makes me think the way Murray Gell-Mann once pretended he spoke my name correctly. He said, van Nieuwenhuizen, and he asked me, how did I say that? And I said, almost correct. He said, almost? I said, yes, because you said van Nieuwenhuizen, but it should be van Nieuwenhuizen. And he still doesn't know today if it was a joke or not. So, well, I'm very happy to be here because I learned of the existence of Ricardo because I was writing in those days a physics report. And that physics report, I think most of you know it. But there was a new development at that time. It's called the group manifold. And the auctor intellectualis is looking at his spectacles now, but that was Professor Tullio Regge. And so I decided to study it, but it was not easy. It was very different. It was actually embedding of superspace. So Sorokin also looks at embedding and so, but this was early. And I didn't really understand it. So I decided to travel down to Torino. At that time, I think I was visiting CERN, so it was not that far. And in Torino, I met Pietro and Ricardo and Tullio, and we started working together. And the more I studied it, the more I found it interesting. So a friendship developed, and it was clear that we didn't want to stop it. So at some point, I invited Pietro and Ricardo to come to Stony Brook. Now, in Stony Brook, Leonardo Castellani was my student, and he did an exam, and Tullio was in the exam committee. I don't know if you remember what happened. You were living in the Three Village Inn, and in the morning, I would come and get you in my very old Volkswagen, which was very brittle. And so you had some trouble getting in, but you fell back, boom. And you may not know, but you went through the floor of my car. And then Tullio drove with his head that high above the window, but not aware that he had gone through the floor. And I didn't want to stop the exam either, so we drove to the university, and you went to the elevator, and we had the exam of Leonardo, who passed.
I remember now.
Oh, you remember, yes.
I'm happy you told me.
I still have a little bill for the car, but... Anyhow, and so a friendship developed. And then we did wonderful things. We wrote papers. Actually, in only 2.5 years, we wrote 6 papers. I have here the copies for me. I could read it, but I won't do that. And then we went together on the boat to Connecticut. Then we went to Boston. And once you were in Paris, you visited us. And then in Amsterdam, we went to a concert. We went to my house at the sea. We went bicycling in the dunes. Then we wrote that paper on N equals 2 as an extra killing spinner. So it was all a wonderful combination. And then, of course, there were many other people here in the audience who came to Stony Brook and whom I knew. For example, I got Anna a student. Leonardo, I mentioned already. Alberto was a student. Then also I worked with Del Duca and with Magnia, but they went into QCD later. And so that was a fantastic Italian group. We would have dinners with Italian students, and Anna would make polenta. And actually, I never liked polenta, but your polenta was the only time I liked it. Maybe it wasn't polenta, but... So this was a wonderful time. And now we are here, and it is 35 years later, and we have most of us devoted our whole life to an enterprise. Nobody knows if it's right or wrong. Tullio says that it might be light years away. Well, I can't come That's too far. The Iceland cloud was already a problem, but going a few light years for Ricardo's 90th birthday, that's too far. But the verdict is out. It's a wonderful time now to have the meeting. In a few years, either supergravity exists, now then that's fantastic. If it doesn't exist, it's better that the meeting was today. So I'm delighted to be here, and I hope that my visit here is the beginning again of further contacts, because we had these few years which were wonderful scientifically, but also with friendship, and in that sense, I'm delighted to be back. Thank you very much.
Next speaker is Ferdinando Gliozzi, and he will talk about confining string of Young-Mills theory.
So, when I began to work with Ricardo, the string theory was at most 1 year old. It was not the string theory, it was the dual resonance model, and it was intended as a theory of strong interactions. But even after its transition to the theory of everything, the string theory was always used as a useful tool to describe the properties of the confining forces between quarks. And in this talk, I would like to speak about the story of this approach or the string theory to the description of confining forces in the QCD. So the plan of my talk is the following. After some remark on the origins of this approach, we treat the bosonic string, which is the free bosonic string, which is used to describe the behavior of the flux tube for very large separation of the quarks. We shall see that there are some non-Gaussian corrections and finally some conclusions. I think that the first people who used the string as some description of a flux connecting quarks is in Nambu in 1969, where it speaks explicitly of strings that tie together the quarks inside the nucleon. In 1974, Wilson put the gauge theory on a lattice, and strong coupling expansion on this lattice can be expressed as a sum of surfaces, and these surfaces can be told as the worksheet of a string. One year later, Toft, Mandelstam, and also Parisi proposed a model for the vacuum of QCD, which is called the vacuum superconductor, in which the condensation of monopoles give the phenomenon of confinement of quarks, and the quarks are tied together by a because of vortices. They are topological structures which have a structure similar to the strings. And finally, in the 80s, Kreutz, Jacques Verrebbi found for the first time the proof of confinement in lattice simulations. In 1981, the Raffaelli transition gave us the modern approach to the confining string theory, because after Raffaelli transition, the flux tube for large separation of quarks behave exactly like a free relativistic vibrating string. So what is the way to relate string theory to the gauge theory? The bridge of this relation is this relation between the vacuum expectation value or Wilson loop in the gauge theory that can be represented as a sum, functional integration of all the surfaces that have as a boundary the Wilson loop. And here L is the string action that is not known. The only important thing is that in its infrared limit, the action is proportional to the string tension sigma times the minimal area of the Wilson loop times a Gaussian term which describes the fluctuation around the minimal configuration of the string. And you see that in this action, there is no signal of a gauge group. This is a theory for a given gauge group. But in this representation, there is no dependence on the gauge group. This means that the predictions of this representation do not depend on the gauge group. So one has some general property which are more than universal, in the sense that different gauge theories have the same behavior in the infrared limit. This is a typical setup of any confining gauge theory. There is a strong coupling region, G is the coupling constant. In a strong coupling region, there is an expansion in 1 over G squared that can be used to prove the confinement, namely the fact that the expectation value of the Wilson loop decays with the area of the Wilson loop. And one can show that in this region, the functional form of the Wilson loop is simply a perimeter term plus an area term. After the Raffaelli transition, this is the region which is important from the point of view of the experiment, because this region here is the region which is connected to the continuum limit. And this region, the instrument, the tool that can be used to describe the theory is the numerical experiments on gauge theories. And the functional form of the Wilson, the expectation value of the Wilson loop is different from the one in strong coupling. Besides the area and the perimeter term, there is also a term which depends on the shape of the Wilson loop. And this depends on the shape. For instance, if the Wilson loop is a rectangle, the shape is can be expressed in terms of a eta Dedekind function. So one can compare this functional form with the numerical experiments to see the signal, the presence of the string. There are two main consequences of the string's picture that can be verified by numerical experiments. And these consequences are independent, again, on the gauge group. Does not depend on the gauge group. One is the so-called Luschert term. This is the first correction to the confining potential. You see, this is the confining potential between two quarks at a distance r, sigma the string tension, mu is a constant. And this term here does not depend on any constant. You see, it depends on the transverse fluctuations on the string. And the origin of this term here is essentially a Casimir term. It's the contribution of zero-point energy or the normal mode of fluctuation of the string. Since the string that describes the confinement of two quarks as fixed boundaries, because the quarks are supposed to be fixed, the normal modes have a frequency, this one. So the total zero-point energy is the sum of this quantity that can be renormalized using the zeta function renormalization. And this is the origin of this term here, that is a universal modification of the potential, which do not depend on the gauge group. So it can be observed in any confining gauge theory. Another consequence is the quantum broadening of the flux tube that connect to quarks increases with the distance, with the logarithm of the distance of the quarks, according to this behavior, where there's universal factor 1 over 2 pi sigma, which again do not depend on the gauge group. This is a result of two kind of calculations. The continuous line here is the contribution of three loops in the potential between quarks. This continuous line here. The points are the numerical the result of the numerical experiment, and the dotted line is the effect of the bosonic string. You see that the agreement is very good. This is for SU3 gauge theory. The string action in this infrared limit, which is simply a free two-dimensional theory, one can evaluate exactly the expectation value of this Wilson loop, and the result is this one. One recognize here the contribution of the determinant of the free bosonic field, this one. And the potential is the limit of the logarithmic of the vacuum expectation value of the Wilson loop in when t go to infinity. Of course, in a numerical simulation, it's much easier to evaluate directly this form here, because in the lattice R and T are finite, so one can compare directly this formula with the numerical experiments. And since this is a more than a universal result, it is independent of the gauge group, one can try to verify this expression using the simplest gauge theory, the theory with the simplest gauge group. And another observable where one can see the effect of the confining string is the expectation value of the correlator between two Polyakov loops. Polyakov loops are Wilson loops which are wrapped around the compact direction which represent the inverse of the temperature. And also in this case, one can evaluate in the free string limit the functional form of this correlator and compare this result with the numerical experiments. Numerical experiments are the effect, the measure given by the true theory, and this is the description in terms of string theory. And if the string theory describes well the behavior of the theory for in the infrared limit, one can compare these two different descriptions. Using the expression of the Wilson loop suggested by the string picture, one can construct some combination. This is a combination of Wilson loops, which depends only on the shape of this Wilson loop. For instance, using this quantity here, this quantity depends only on the modulus of the rectangle associated with this Wilson loop. There is no free parameter, and so this quantity gives us a measure of the goodness of the string description. And this quantity can be measured, for instance, in the Z2 gauge theory, in the gauge theory in which the group is Z2, as we measured 13 years ago. And you see, this continuous line is a line without free parameters, and the numerical data are just on the curve. A similar behavior can be found in another simple description or in a simple gauge theory. This gauge theory is the dual of random percolation. Random percolation, three dimension, is dual to a gauge theory. And this gauge theory has a gauge group, the limit n to 1 of the permutation group of n elements. So the gauge group is 1, but in this theory one can define all the gauge invariant quantities like the Wilson loop, the Polyakov loops, and also in this case one can measure with very high precision this universal function, which is written without free parameters. This free string description is valid only for very large separations, and one can construct some scale invariant quantity using Polyakov correlators. And this quantity is constructed in such a way that is zero if the theory is the free string theory. And one can see that when the distance is not too large, there is a deviation from the prediction of the string theory. This means that the string theory has to be modified at short distances in order to reproduce the behavior at short distance. Well, the first idea one can use is to use as a description of the confining string the Nambu-Goto action that we know that has some problems because this is without problems only in critical dimensions. While in this case we have to describe a theory which has exactly d minus 2 transverse degree of freedoms, and this is not possible below the 26 dimensions. A possible way out is the one studied by Polchinski and Strominger that suggests to quantize this theory using an induced matrix. In this case, the theory is very complicated, it's difficult to be treated. But one can do an expansion in this parameter here. Sigma is the string tension, L is the area of the Wilson loop. And one can see that in this approach, the first non-Gaussian term is this one, which coincides with the Nambu-Goto term. One has to say that this representation, the representation of the macro expectation value in terms of string theory, cannot be an exact representation. Because, for instance, in this string approach, one cannot represent the emission or the radiation of globules by the theory. So this can be an approach which is valid only perturbatively in this quantity, in this expansion parameter. One can, however, extract some important information on the side of the quantum gauge theory using the fact that that this is a ordinary correlator function. One can show that the sum of all the transverse direction of this quantity can be expressed in terms of an expansion on the exponential where En is the energy, the eigenvalue of the energy of the system. So this is the information given by the quantum theory. And Lucian and Weiss have observed that if there is this expansion of this integral, then one can show that this correlator is not an arbitrary function, but should be expanded in terms of the Bessel function of order given by the dimension of the space. And this expansion gives us some very strong constraint on the form of the string action. Indeed, one can use this constraint to show that if I write the most general correction to the Gaussian term, which is, depends on two coupling constants, C1, C2, and C3, one can show that the above condition, this condition here, implies the following constraint, that in the case of three dimensions, since in three dimensions these two quantities are equal, because in three dimensions we have only one transverse vibration of the string, we get that the only possible term here is the Nambu Goto term. So the first correction of the Nambu term. So one can calculate, evaluate the contribution of this term to the vacuum expectation value. No? So this is the first term here is the contribution of the free string limit, and this is the new contribution due to this universal term, which is the same for all gauge theories independent on the gauge group. Similarly, the dependence of the string tension on the temperature as a functional form in which the first two terms is fixed by this consideration. The first term, this term here, is essentially the same term of the Luscher, is due to the fluctuation of the Gaussian part of the string action. And this is the new term associated to the first non-Gaussian correction to the string action. And these are the first two terms of the expression of string tension as a function of the temperature as found by Olesen very, very many years ago. Now, using the dual or random percolation, one can evaluate this first these two corrections are given by the universal correction predicted by the above argument. And this is the new term which is not predicted by this argument. And one can see that this term here in this kind of gauge theory is not the same of the Nambu Goto, but is different. So it seems that at this level, 1 over 6, there is a deviation from the Nambu Goto contribution. Another way to study the effect of the confined string description of the confinement is the study of the width of the flux tube. The width of the flux tube can be constructed on the side of numerical experiments using this correlator, which is a correlator within two Wilson loop. I can see here there's one Wilson loop which acts as a source of the flux, and another Wilson loop, a smaller Wilson loop, which is used as a probe. One can study the distribution of flux tube moving the probe along the in the space. And this, so one can construct, for instance, this is an example for the Z4 gauge theory. And one can see the distribution of the flux as a function of the position of the probe around the Wilson loop. On the other hand, on the string side, one can evaluate the width of the flux by measuring the mean value in the string using the string action of the square of the fluctuation. H is the position of the string in the point x, and one can see that one can derive, right, this expression that the width, the square of the width, increases logarithmically with the distance of the quark. This is simply due to the fact that the correlator of a free theory in two dimensions is a logarithm, where lambda is a scale-dependent ultraviolet scale that can be evaluated. For instance, again, in the two-gauge theory, where all the simulations are simple, the signal of this broadening of the flux tube has been seen many years ago. While in the case of SUN gauge theory, is much more challenging the measurement of this broadening, and it only 2 months ago we have seen the signal of this broadening of the flux tube. One can evaluate the contribution of the first correction of the Nambu-Goto action to this quantity. Now, this is the contribution of the free strain. This is the contribution of the first correction to the Gaussian term. And you see that in this expression, the only free parameter is this scale R0. All the rest is completely fixed by the geometry of the system. And here is the result of the broadening of the flux tube in three-dimensional SU2 in the means, in the region where the distance between quark is much less than the inverse of the temperature. So this is the case of a very low temperature. And you see the red line is the the function I wrote before, and the blue points are the numerical simulations. And using the fact that in these formulas we can evaluate this expression in terms of the shape of this quantity, which has the geometry of a cylinder, we can see how this quantity is modified when we go in another region, in a region in which the distance is in the opposite region, namely here, rho is very smaller than b, and here we go in another region, very larger than b. This is the case of the measurement at finer temperature. And one can see that in this case, the broadening of flux tube increases linearly with the distance of the quarks. And then this can be seen again in numerical experiment in SU2. You see this is the linear behavior. And again, this agreement with the prediction of the description in terms of the confining string is good, because we have here no free parameters. This is an exact prediction of the free string, which is valid only in the infrared region. And you see that the numerical data, the experiments, the numerical experiments reproduce the expected value. So this, in conclusion, this description, the use of the string as a tool to describe the behavior of the confining force at large distances, give a good and accurate description of this behavior. But the precise form of the string action for the confining string is not very well, is not known. We know only the first two or three terms. So deviation are expected for higher order terms. And finally, tante vuoi ricatto.
Maybe it isn't a fairly lowbrow question, but where are the brains in your talk? This was all bosonic string, huh?
Mm.
But in the real string theory, there's more than only bosonic string. So how this seemed to agree very well numerically. But it was an incomplete model, the bosonic string. So how come it agrees so well if it's an incomplete model?
Yes, this is actually an effective theory that is not a fundamental theory. So used only to describe infrared behavior. In order to describe short distances, this thing picture is not good.
Not contributing to the effect.
Yes, no, this is a theory which describes the configuration in which the flux tube is very elongated. So
I have one other question. I didn't understand very well your gate theory for a discrete finite group. I once needed myself such a concept, and I never found somebody who could talk about it. Can you explain that a bit?
Yes.
If I think of a gauge group, there's a tangent and continuous group, there's a and Lie algebra and so on, gauge fields. But in how far from a discrete group can you do that?
Okay, this what you mentioned is the perturbative approach to the gauge theory.
Yeah.
In the lattice, instead of working with the Lie algebra, one works with finite group elements. So, using finite group elements, you can use also discrete groups. And you can define the gauge invariant quantities exactly like in the case of continuum.
Yeah, I understand.
This is the region.
Is there some other question? Okay, if not, we thank the speaker again. So now there's going to be a half an hour coffee break just in front of this room. But meanwhile, I need to ask you, I need to ask those of you who haven't booked subscribed to do so, because we need to have a precise number of participants to know how many people will attend the concert. Okay? Thank you.
Come on.